Okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, hurry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to us, so that by knowing it, they may love it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. Help of all Christians, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will continue today with our reading of Luisa's letters. I believe we are in number 106.
Yes. Letter number 106 to a priest. Most Reverend Father, to my surprise, I received your dear letter. Thank you. I also often remembered you in my poor prayers. Our most interesting task is to live of will of God. If we do this, we do everything. And even if we did nothing, by living in the divine will, the all pours into the nothing and works its great wonders, such as to astonish heaven and earth. And if we do much without the divine will, it is just little drops. Therefore, I placed everything in the divine volition so that it may do whatever it wants, but be certain that its kingdom will come upon earth. It wanted to conquer man through love, but man, and maybe even the very members of the church, rejected it. This is why the Lord was forced to use the rigor of justice so that man, touched in his own flesh, might recognize that supreme will which wants to reign and live in our souls. So, dear Father, let us pray. Let us do this will so holy and let us live in it. May it be our breath and heartbeat. If we do so, we will be carried in the divine arms. It will lower itself to breathe in our breathing, to beat in our heartbeat, to move in our motion. Then, in the ardor of our love, we will say to him, I love you for all, and for love of you, I give you the heartbeat, the breath, the motion of all. I commend myself to your prayers and leaving you in the divine volition to make yourself a saint. I kiss your right hand with all my esteem, and I implore on my knees your paternal blessing. Your most devoted servant, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. We send this beautiful letter with precision how Luisa Picaretta teaches the divine will. And I believe one of the most difficult things to do is to try to teach to brother priests sometimes because of the formation, because of the backgrounds that we all have. But she explains the divine will in a beautiful way to a priest. But it's also for all of us, not only for a priest, but if you look at what she says, it applies to all of us. By living in the divine will, The old pours into the nothing and works its great wonders. Right? The old, the divine will, we know that it's everything because it's God's volition. That's why we call it the divine will, because God is divine. We call it human will because we are human. So it is the very will of the Blessed Trinity. The very will of the Blessed Trinity moving, palpitating in the creatures. That's what we see in the person of our Lord Jesus. The will of the Blessed Trinity operating in a humanity, in the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he chose to take it. But it is the will of the Blessed Trinity. The all, the Blessed Trinity, as she will say, lowers itself to enter into the motion of the heart, to breathe, to palpitate, into lowers itself into the human motion and everything. So imagine the all lowers itself to enter into the humanity. And this is something that I think through these letters, we also understand even more that passage that basically is our foundation now that we have been studying, volume 29, October 8, 1931, in which we see that our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta, if you don't possess this gift, everything you do will be incomplete, imperfect, and disordered. Those are the words that he uses. And here, the way Luisa Picaretta gives us almost the same concept is if you do much without the divine will, it is just like little drops. It is like to be so busy, just walking, working is with your humanity. And now if you think about this, it's like, oh, it should be almost scary. So thanks God that we have found this gift and that now we are able even to, we can say to recrown, to go back and crown all the acts that we have done just by offering them, just by simply by remembering and offering those acts that we have done in the past outside of the divine will. And now we can go back and just put that crown by offering those on our own behalf so that they will not be incomplete, they will not be imperfect or disordered, but on the contrary, they be complete, perfect, and perfectly ordered. Why? Because now they will have the purpose of calling the divine will to come and reign on earth, the purpose of glorifying God, that it will bring so much good to others and then our own salvation. So notice that the order is for the first purpose is to glorify God for the greater glory of God. Then the second should be for the good that will bring to others. And basically, the last is that we may be saved, but of course, that way of living will sanctify us a little by little. Why? Because it's the life of the Blessed Trinity living in us. Living in us. But we always refer to the will of our Lord Jesus because it was the divine will operating in the humanity that the second person of the Blessed Trinity took. So this should help us understand also that without the divine will operating in us, everything will be like little drops compared to how much God can receive from us. Then, whatever we do in the divine will must be the, I mean, whatever we do from now on should have this purpose that we want to just praise God, adore God, glorify Him for His greater glory. And knowing that the simplest thing, like, as Luisa Picaretta mentions here, the simple breathing, the heartbeat, it will give so much glory to God. His will. And the divine will wants to conquer by love. Not by justice, but by love. And it's calling us, calling us, calling us, calling us. The one, because the divine love is present in the sacraments, and it's calling us, calling us, calling us, just to fill us with what God is. There is a passage in one of the writings of Maria Valtorta that explains that our Lord Jesus mentions, and he says that everybody who is baptized, everybody who is baptized by virtue of being baptized, and also by the fact that we are gifted with a supernatural part in us, which is the soul. We are gifted with a soul, and that soul is supernatural. He tells Maria Valtorta that every baptized, basically, every person who is baptized is a king. We see this that, you know, when we are baptized, the priest or the deacon, the one who baptizes, mentions that the person is anointed with the chrism, which signifies Christ and the Holy Spirit. It's the ritual says so that you may be now as Christ, participating as Christ being priest, prophet, and king. So every man is a king because of his soul and his throne, right? Our throne is in heaven. And we are crowned right there in baptism, basically with the gift of the divine will operating in us, because then that gift is being restored in baptism. And because we don't have the will to reject it when we are children, we are crowned, and this is what Adam and Eve took. They dethroned themselves. They took away the crown given to them, which was the divine will. And they lost the gift. So basically, every sacrament, God is looking for us in every sacrament. So every time we go to confession, right? He places the crown again upon our head. And he's seeking us, seeking us, seeking us, seeking us to give us that gift, to restore us. And he's doing that through love, because he doesn't want anyone to be lost. And this gift is giving us, the gift of the divine will is giving us the knowledge of that kingdom. The knowledge of the kingdom of the divine will, basically the knowledge of heaven, but while on this earth. Because in heaven, every instant, even though they are not bounded by time, but we speak of time because we are in time, one day we'll be able to understand that the beatific vision, just without any words, just through the intellect. But at every instance that the angels, the saints, they spend before the divine majesty, it is just loving him through every movement of their soul, with everything that they are, with their whole being. So understanding God through their intellect, loving him at every moment through the memory. And now their will being fixed in God, because over there they are just fixed in the will of God. They don't have now the choice, because they already have been fixed in the will of God, and that's what they do. So God wants us to possess this gift decide. Imagine that, the gift that the now possess there in heaven, meaning being fixed in the will of God, that he has given us the knowledge of these writings. It is a great act of love that he has given us the knowledge of these writings, giving us the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven, basically, the knowledge of the kingdom of the divine will. So it's a great act of love, but if we don't want to receive it, if we don't want to correspond to the gift, the Lord, Luisa Picaretta says, is forced to use his justice, right? Because the supreme volition, the divine will, wants to reign in our souls, beginning here. Why? Because now, if you begin living in the divine will in this on this earth, on this side, then you can acquire merit. The saints, they cannot acquire any more merit because they are fixed now in the will of God. They don't have the choice to go away of the divine will. This is what the Lord says in volume 14, May 19, 1922, about this being fixed in the divine will. The blessed in heaven enjoy all the beatitude which my will contains, and live in it as in their own center. They live in the center of the divine will. They do not, however, multiply it, since their merits are fixed in them. Then he says, you are happier than they are, being able to multiply my life, my will, my good in them. My will is the beatifier. In you, it is operative. So the will is what allows, the divine will allows them to basically see the Blessed Trinity as the Blessed Trinity is, according to the capacity of the soul. So he says, in you it is operative, and I ask for your acts in order to multiply it. So in them is fixed already. They cannot multiply the love of God anymore. They can just give the love that they possess for God, but it cannot be multiplied. They cannot possess any merit. But he says, in you, I am able to multiply those acts. Right? So what he wants from us is the correspondence. This is what the Blessed Trinity wants, to correspond his will. And the Blessed Trinity lowers itself in our heartbeat, to enter in our heartbeat, as it lowered itself to take in a humanity. The Word became flesh and dwell among us, right? In the person of our Lord Jesus, became flesh and dwell among us, lower itself to breathe, to palpitate, to enter into the humanity, to restore, and then to be able to offer. And here we also find a little bit of insight of what our Lord Jesus was doing in his humanity. In this letter, Bishop Picaretta then says, after explaining how the divine will lowers itself in the heartbeat, in the breathing, then she says, then in the ardor of our love, we will say to him, I love you for all and for love of you. So this is, it gives us a glimpse of what our Lord Jesus was doing in his humanity, the way he also prayed, that he was restoring everything and he was loving God the Father. Out of love for God the Father, he came also and became flesh because he loves God the Father. In the Gospel of John, you find that love of our Lord Jesus for God our Father. I am one. I go and I will come back and I will re I will reveal the Father that the Lord Jesus, we see the way the Lord Jesus pray also. This gives us an insight of how he pray again through the Gospel of see that we are able to understand that more and more. So when Luisa Picaretta says, I love you for all and for love of you, I give you the heartbeat, the breath, the motion of all. This is what our Lord Jesus came to do in his humanity out of love for God the Father. He was loving God the Father for all, loving God the Father for all of us in every single heartbeat, in every motion. He was loving God the Father, giving to God the Father everything. Out of love for the Father and out of love for all of us. So again, beautiful love expression of John. So let's continue with the next letter, 107.
Letter number 107 to Frederico Abresh in Voluntate Dei. Most esteemed and dear son in the divine volition, I delight and rejoice in hearing that you interest yourself in the divine fiat. And together with me, Jesus rejoices and delights. I say to you, thank you from the heart, together with my dear Jesus. Whatever you can do, do it. The rest will be done by Jesus, who so much wants, loves, and yearns that his will be known and possessed by the creature as her own life. In fact, only the divine will is the origin of our life, the means and the end of our existence, and will make us storm heaven. Without it, we are turned upside down. We lose the right to our terrestrial and celestial goods. We lose the bond with the divine family. On the other hand, if we live of divine will, everything is ours, even God Himself is ours. If we love, our little love runs through all hearts. And even in future hearts, and loves God for all. It runs through the angels into the seas of love of the Queen of Heaven, in the divine seas of God, and everywhere, in everything, and in every place, loves. The creature who loves in the divine will is not content if she does not find her place in all. To love the one who loves so much loves her. To love in the divine will astonishes heaven and earth. The very saints yearn to have within their hearts this conquering love of one who lives in exile. So, if we pray, if we adore, and even if we sigh in this will so holy, we become life of all, and we give God all that everyone should give him. Therefore, the prodigies of living in the divine will are inexhaustible, and maybe we will get to know them in heaven. This is the reason for which the infernal enemy has closed all doors using ecclesiastical people. But the time will come when Jesus will triumph over all, and his kingdom on earth will certainly come, because it is a decree of God, and he does not easily change his decrees because of the wickedness of men. However, blessed are those who interest themselves in his will, because the Lord will use them to open the ways which had been closed, and will use their acts as many keys in order to open heaven and to make it descend and rain upon earth. Therefore, dearest son, let us be attentive. Let us never move from the supreme fiat. I leave you in the divine volition to make yourself a great saint. Pray for me. I send you my regards from the heart in the divine will, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. You see again the explanation of Elizabeth Garreta that in the divine will is our origin. We understand this event. We can understand this even through sacred scripture, when God appears in the burning bush to Moses, and then he says he receives the instructions of what to do and all of that. And then when he says, but when they ask me your name, what am I going to say? And the answer is, I am, right? I am. And you know that in grammar, that's the verb to be. I am. That's the name of God. I am. He reveals himself in that way, meaning that I am through which all things come into existence. His existence is himself. So he's the origin of everything. His will is the very existence of everything. It causes everything into being. That's why later on, St. Paul will say almost the same, but in a different way. In him, we live and move and have our being. And he is the origin of everything that exists. He is the means. The divine will also is the means, and it should be the end. So it should be our purpose. We go back over and over now that we should have in mind now, from now on, that everything we do should be directed towards that, towards the fulfillment of the Our Fathers. And then if we look this, let's try to look this also in the general aspect, not only in a particular, not only in an episode of the whole history of salvation, but now let us try to look at the whole history of salvation and see this gift also. You know, since this gift was given to our first parents, Adam and Eve, and they dethroned themselves by taking out that crown that it was placed in their head, on their head, by departing from that, then God continues to seek. His plan doesn't change, to give us this gift. So then he calls, we see, after the flood, he calls Noah. They begin, right? Then he continues calling. Then we see Abraham. God promises that he will give him a new land. to his descendants. We see that he takes them out of Egypt of slavery. He calls Moses. Then he promised the new the land flowing with milk and honey. Moses sees the land that he is not able to enter. He promises that he fulfills that David establishes the 12 tribes together. God continues now. After that, he promises the Messiah. A virgin shall conceive a son. His name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. So this is what they were praying for. That promise is fulfilled in the person of our Lord Jesus. That's what the people in the Old Testament were waiting for. Now is being fulfilled. And he tells them what is going to happen. He uses, when our Lord Jesus begins to preach, he uses the mystery of himself, of his person, to teach the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yes, because it was in him, it was reigning in him, he was using his person as a way of teaching the mystery of his person. People, they didn't understand, but he came to reconcile. So through his wounds, we were healed. This is the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah. Through his wounds, we were healed. He accomplished that. That prophecy was fulfilled. He's the fulfillment of the prophecies there. Then, even through the last prophet in the Old Testament, someone greater than me is coming, prepare the way. And then once he comes, we see that that fulfillment is in the baptism of our Lord Jesus. That prophecy has been fulfilled. And now we are not waiting. Then he tells the disciples what is going to happen. The Son of Man is going to be lifted up, is going to be crucified, but he will conquer death. So that prophecy has been fulfilled. I will send you the Holy Spirit. That prophecy has been fulfilled in the church with Pentecost, and individually is being fulfilled in each one who is being baptized, confirmed. That prophecy is being fulfilled in the general aspect, in the universal aspect of the church, but also individually in every person. So those prophecies have been fulfilled. Now, what is left to be accomplished? Two more things. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In order for this last prophecy to be fulfilled, which is that the Son of Man will return in the same glory that he went. Now we heard that prophecy through today's first reading, the Acts of the Apostles. So we can say that there are two prophecies that need to be fulfilled before the final end here. And we are right now living in the second to the last prophecy to be fulfilled, which is the Our Fathers. It is being fulfilled in each one of us as we continue to grow, to know, to understand the gift guided by the Holy Spirit. So now we must learn to see this gift as a whole. Now we have to see the whole movie, not only those little episodes, right? Now you see the whole history of salvation, how it's been unfolding and needs to be. To continue unfolding is going to continue unfolding, 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 unfolding. And is if we understand that, yes, this is the origin, and the church is the means through which we will enter into this way of living through baptism and the sacraments and Also, through this way of living that has been deposited in the church, the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, have been deposited in the church. And if this gift is being taught in the church, how much faster this is gonna reign in the hearts and the souls, because this is what the Lord Jesus wants. He wants to reign in the hearts, in the souls of men, to lower the divine will, lowering itself in the nothing that we are. In that same passage that I gave you before the reading that I gave it, the Lord says to Lisa Picaretta, "You are nothing other than an atom in my volition, a little nothing. But in this atom, I place all the weight of my will so that as you move, the immense sea of my volition may receive its motion. The water may ripple, and as though agitate, they may give off their freshness, their fragrances, and may overflow for the good of heaven and the earth. The atom is small, extremely light, and is not capable of agitating the whole immense sea of my will. But once all the weight of my will has been placed in it, it will be capable of everything, and you will give me the fuel in order to release from myself more divine acts." So in this way, we are living the fulfillment of the Our Father. We are living that promise. That promise is being fulfilled in all of us right now as we continue to grow. Remember the passage in which our Lord comes to Nazareth and he goes to the synagogue. Pamphlet comes and he reads and he says, "This reading is being fulfilled in your hearing today." So the Our Father is being fulfilled in our hearing today. If we understand our origin, if we are able to understand that this is what God the Father wants to give us, because this is the first plant, and that He has not changed His mind for all of us, that He wants to give us this gift that we possess through Adam and that we lost through Adam, but now is being restored through our Lord Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary, and is being given to all of us. So the means for us to possess this gift is, of course, the sacraments. We have to have that, because again, it begins in the sacrament of baptism. We receive the crown that it was taken from us. And this is real. This is real, but we don't see it. We don't see it that every time you go to confession, the crown of grace is being put again in our heart, in our heads. As the priest says the words of absolution, God, through the Holy Spirit, is crowning us again, restoring us. Why? Because our seeds of kings, they are reserved in heaven. I'm going to my Father to reserve a place for you. So we don't see it. That's why it is difficult for us to believe it. If we were able to see that, I believe everybody will be rushing to the confessional. Everybody will be rushing to the confessional. We all be rushing to the confessional, but we need to understand the origin. That is a big part also in order to understand the gift of the divine will, to understand the book of Genesis, the three first chapters, what they possess in conjunction with what the Catechism says in 373 all the way to 379, the harmony, the state of justice in which we were created. And all of this is needed to understand the whole pictures. And if we do this, we will be able to understand also the role of the Blessed Mother in all of this, and how she really wants to give us this gift, that unless we possess this gift, again, she will not be able to reflect herself truly in us. Now, our Lord Jesus will not be able to reflect himself in us. So this is the means, and our end should be that, to possess what was lost. Now, through this way of living and spending our human life here on earth and looking up towards heaven. And I think this is also one of the things that we don't understand, that what heaven is about, and we are kind of afraid of heaven, but we should not be, because heaven is, as Thomas Aquinas will say, the angelic doctor, he describes heaven, and he says it's perfect perfection, perfect joy, perfect happiness, and not only perfect, but eternal happiness. There will never be a single moment that you will be bored in heaven or depressed in heaven. No. Perpetual, eternal, perfect happiness and joy. And this is only a human way of expressing that reality. That reality. And continuing with him, you know, he was given the grace to see, to have a vision. And after he saw the vision, he said, "Everything that I have wrought is nothing." So he wanted to burn the whole work that he was doing. Thanks be to God, they didn't allow him to do that. But can you imagine just that a little glimpse that he had to be able to say, "Everything that I have said is nothing." He wanted to we. Must have this in mind also to understand the whole gift as a whole, the origin, how the history of salvation in the economy of salvation that the church gives us. And if we do that, then we will be able to understand also the gift of the divine will, and to be able to understand that we are right there before the end also, that this has to be fulfilled in us. Hallowed be thy name, meaning that everything that I do may be to glorify you, God the Father. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So your will may be done in me at every moment. So that should be the objective for all of us. So this divine will, Elizabeth Garrett explains, it runs through all the angels, right? And all the heaven, all the saints, they are centered in the divine will, the Blessed Mothers, and all the acts of the angel, I mean the saints, they are there. And the divine will wants to multiply our acts. It wants to be present. We are that little atom, ATOM, in which the divine will enters, and that little atom is able to storm the sea. You know? So imagine that we are just a little drop of water. And one little drop of water is not able to cause a hurricane. No. It's not able to cause waves in the sea. No, but if that little drop of water possesses the divine will, it's able to move everything, the whole sea. It's able to cause everything. So that's the divine will in us. It's able to run through everything. Once the drop of water is falls into the sea, you cannot distinguish it anymore. It becomes one with the whole sea. You cannot separate it. That same drop of water cannot be separated. It becomes part of the whole sea. So it's the same with the divine will in us. When it reigns in us, then it runs through everywhere where divine will is, and it's able to cause, to move, to multiply, to to adore, to glorify, and also to delight in God. This is the other aspect of the divine will also, that we are not able to see it, but remember, the heart is able to talk to God. So this is the way also that the heart talks to God in a quiet way, even in the simple beating. God knows what is in the heart and is able to understand God. But because we are constrained and restrained through our humanity, we are not able to understand it. But one day we will be able to see it and to understand everything through the intellect. That's how the saints, they understand God through the intellect. Remember also according to their own capacity. So the more capacity we acquire here, the more we will be able to possess, the more light, the more love, the more wisdom, the more beauty and everything that God is, we will be able to possess, and God will be glorified. He will be glorified through us also, even more. However, blessed are those who interest themselves in his will, because the Lord will use them to open the ways which have been closed, and will use their acts as many keys in order to open heaven and to make it descend and rain upon earth. So everything should be directed now towards this end. We understand the whole history of salvation, how it's been unfolding, how the Holy Spirit has been moving us and is moving us and is moving us, and we are living in that fulfillment of the Our Father through this gift. Let's try to finish with the next letter.
Letter number 108. To Teresa, Fiat. My good daughter in the divine volition, I recommend that you do not lose peace and that you live so abandoned in the divine will as to feel it as your own life. If you do so, this will so holy will take you upon its maternal knees more than a tender mother. It will hold you tightly to its divine heart. It will raise you as its beloved daughter. So in all your pains, you will feel your mama near you, assisting you, guiding you, and changing your little pains into a son and into little coins for heaven. In each pain, dear Jesus will give you a kiss, a hug, and will adorn your soul with most refulgent gems. Therefore, courage, my daughter. Never lose heart. Never get discouraged. It is Jesus that wants his daughter similar to himself. Aren't you happy? So do not care about anything else but to live abandoned in his arms. With this, you will feel a new strength, and you will no longer feel alone. Sufferings will turn for you into sanctity and into celestial joys. Dear Jesus will give you his pains as courtship, strength, and company. I leave you in the divine volition to make yourself a great saint, and sending you my regards from the heart, I say, most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, December 15th, 1941. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. So, to live, what does it mean to really live abandoned in the divine will while we are here in our journey? This is one of the challenges also, because as pilgrims here, it is hard to abandon ourselves in the divine will, because all the things that we go through. But is living in the divine will also is having that constant awareness, that constant vision, as I said, seeing this gift as part of something that is being unfolded and has to be accomplished, not only as a little episode, right, but seeing it as part of the whole and understanding it like that. And that should give us also that peace, that encouragement that we need, that we are living in this moment in time and history, that God has chosen us to live in this moment, that through our simple acts, we become instruments for others to come and know this gift, to open the door so that that grace may radiate, may flow the whole earth. I think this is really the fulfillment of the divine mercy prophecy also. A promise that he will open the doors of heaven will be open, and the whole earth will be flooded with the mercy of God, with the grace. This is, but this abandonment in the divine will is to entrust ourselves. You know, that beautiful, there are so many passages, but I remember one passage that the Lord says to Maria Valtorta, the order of asking. You know, sometimes we don't know how to ask, but we ask in this order, you know, telling God, you know what is best for me. I don't know, but you know it. So give me what is best for me. I abandon myself to you, O divine will. I don't know really what is best for me, but you that know what is best for me, O divine will, Heavenly Father, give me what is best for me. And then asking also, you know, is nothing wrong with asking for health for others, but first of all, remembering, having that constant awareness that before we ask anything, or even with our asking, it should be for hallowed be your name. May your name be glorified. I ask you for healing, so that through my healing, this is an example, just an example, asking for healing. I ask for healing, that through my healing you be glorified, that my healing be for the good of others, and finally for my own salvation. It's difficult, different ways to abandon ourselves and to place that trust, but basically having that in mind, and you know, it's a process moving and growing in this understanding of living in the divine will. And this is what Luisa Picaretta is basically telling us here, also abandon ourselves in the divine will. The divine will make us holy, because the divine will perfect us, right? All our pains, our sufferings, in all of them, we will feel the strength, the assistance, the guidance of our Lord Jesus through His Holy Spirit. Also, this is another thing that we cannot forget, that this, the whole work now, is the work of the Holy Spirit, whose work is to sanctify us, to perfect us, to make sure that we have that crown that was taken from us, and that sometimes we take it ourselves. And look at that, how beautiful everything is being placed in the church through the sacrament of anointing of the sick. Love is seeking us. The love of God is seeking us, so that even at the last moment of our life, we have the chance to be crowned as kings, knowing that our true home really is in heaven. So this, Luisa Picaretta says that these little pains, you know, they will turn into coins for heaven. These little pains, they will turn into suns and into little coins into heaven. Yes, because we belong We ourselves, you know, the passage of the gospel, the woman who lost the coin, the woman searched and searched and searched, and finally found the coin, and she basically went telling everybody how happy she was that she found the coin. So that coin is all of us. That coin represents us. We are the lost coin. That woman, believe it or not, but in that passage we can say that is God seeking, seeking, seeking us, seeking us. And now that we are being found, right, he makes feast. And why? Because as St. Augustine will say it, we are coins of the divine treasury. We belong to the divine treasury, to God, and that's our soul. Again, we are gifted with that supernatural gift, which is our soul. And it makes sense that it is through the powers of the soul that this supernatural gift or the divine will, because it's God's will, operates through that supernatural part of ours, right? Of our makeup, that aspect of our makeup, which is eternal, which it belongs to God, and that through that device, we can say he's able to operate and to restore the gift that was lost through our first parents, Adam and Eve. And this is what God wants us to be similar to him through this gift, through participation, basically through allowing his will to operate in us. So let us finish today with this letter, and let us ask the Blessed Mother to intercede for us, to give us her divine protection, that through her maternal hands we may receive a double portion of his Holy Spirit as we prepare for the feast of Pentecost. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.